Goodness.
Should I fix your coffee and bring it in?
You know why? That would be involved.
Do you have like a, I think a strong?
Say it again?
Strong or weak or medium?
Medium. Okay. Medium. And, you know, leave me some room for the goats. Okay. So we're here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. And we studied at great length the sugi yesterday of Mahadrin, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And then we began the sugya of Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. And we wanted to know what is the significance of Pesach Beiso. And we had a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. So that's what we want to focus on as we begin the sugya. So at least find a place so we'll all be on the same page. And we're taking a look at Tanur Rabbanon, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah L'Anichal Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. Now, in order to find that, thank you so much, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Tosfos Dibra Maskil U'Bishas HaSakana, and then we're going to go up about three lines in the Gemara, and the first word in the line is Ner. Everybody have that, right? And this is the discussion about where to locate, where to place the Ner Chanukah. And we want to take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Mibachutz. So you should have one finger on Rashi, Shalom Aleichem, and one finger on the Gemara, and one finger on the Rashi. So where is the Rashi? Rashi is Mibachutz, which is a little bit above Tosfos Dibra Maskil Vamahadrin Min Hamahadrin. A little bit above that. Now, what does it mean, according to Rashi, that he should place his Ner Chanukah outside of the opening to his door? Rashi says, Mishum Pirsume Nisa. Rashi says that he will fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes by placing his Ner Chanukah right outside his house. Again, in the case where he lives on a higher floor, and the only way to get to his house by entering into the house on the first floor, then it becomes more complicated. That's going to be the next sugya that we want to learn. If he lives on an aliyah means on the top floor. But let's assume that you can see his candle in front of his house while you're walking down the street, because he lives on the ground floor. So Rashi says, then that's fine, because then his Ner Chanukah is exposed to the Rishus HaRav. But again, where is the Ner Chanukah actually located? It's not in the Rishus HaRavim. It's in his area, right in front of his house. Kind of like a little bit of a courtyard that he has in front of his house, or a few cubits of area. And then Rashi says, "V'lo b'rishus harabim," but he should not place the candle in an area that's not his, that rather belongs to the public. And Rashi is saying that in their days, it would be very possible, very plausible, Rashi's rejecting this, that you would place the Ner Chanukah in Rishus HaRabim. Why would that be feasible? And we're going to soon see that that's in fact the sheet of Tosfos against Rashi. Rashi rejects this, but why would it be feasible? And Rashi says, I'm going to skip two words of Rashi, we'll come right back to them, Shabbateim hayu psuchim l'chotzer, that in the old days, their homes were opened into a common courtyard. So there was the area right in front of my entranceway, which was mine, and then if you go beyond that courtyard into a larger area, that wider, larger area was common to all the homes that lived in that shared that chutzah. So there's one chutzah that was private, and there's one chutzah that was was shared by all. And that chatzah that's shared by all, Rashi says, has the status of Rishus HaRabin. And our Gemara, which is the Brisa of Tan Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Anichal Pesach Beis Omi Bachutz, is coming Lafuke, is coming to exclude Pesach Beiso, is coming to exclude Rishus HaRabin. And since the common area of all the Batim as they spill into one common courtyard is commonly owned, it's not privately owned, therefore that chotzer is completely excluded from an appropriate location for Ner Chanukah. You would have thought that maybe it should be Pesach HaChotzer, not Pesach Beiso, but the opening into a Chotzer, which is the common area. What would you gain, again in the Havamin of Rashi, which is going to be the Maskon of Tosfos, what would you gain by placing your Ner Chanukah be Pesach HaChotzer, Chotzer meaning the common Chotzer, which Rashi identifies as Rishus HaRav and as a public area? Correct, you would generate an even greater Pirsumanes, because anyone going in from coming from the outside into this whole cul-de-sac, if you will, anyone coming in is going to see your Ner Chanukah. And that's what I mentioned to you yesterday, that one of the Rabbanim who lives in my house, in my apartment building, right, he lights his Ner Chanukah, like Shitas HaTosfos, on the Pesach HaChotzer, meaning there's a common area before you go into the apartment building, between the apartment building, and that's where he lights the candle. But what is he forfeiting now, according to Rashi?
Beiso,
exactly. Beiso, because it's no longer Beiso. And the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, says Rashi, is Beiso. So that's what it says over here. Now, I have a footnote here, which I wanted to share with you, a footnote in the Masifta. And he says the following. L'shitas Rashi, okay, you don't have this in front of you, so you'll have to listen to Torah Shebaal Peh. I haven't yet succeeded in figuring out how to photocopy these footnotes. It just, I don't know, I tried a few times, so you'll have to bear with me. He says, Rashi Shita ish in Pesach, in Beiso Pasuach lechotzer, meaning his own private chotzer, v'chotzer psucha lechotzer shi rishus harabim, eino madlik rishus harabim, ela al Pesach chatzero, Pesach Beiso. Okay. Now, he quotes a group of Rishonim.
Those are two different things, though. Pesach Chatzero, Pesach Beito.
Pesach Beiso is his personal owned chotzer, his privately owned chotzer, and then there's a chotzer which is common to everyone, which is considered, according to Rashi, as Rishus HaRabim, and we need Pesach Beiso and not Rishus HaRabim. He now quotes a whole cadre of Rishonim. One of them is called Chidushim HaMiyuchasim LaRan, and we don't have a historical proof that this Chibur was written by the Ran himself. So we call it Miyuchas LaRan. Okay, it means we attribute it to the Ran. And the Ran says that L'shitaso, according to Rashi Shita, that's how the Ran analyzes Rashi, be ofen she'ein lo chotzer lifnei beiso, let's say he doesn't have any privately owned area in front of his house, but rather Pesach habayis hu b'rishus harabim. So what happens if immediately you step over the threshold, leaving your house, and you land in b'rishus harabim, there's no area that's yours, then Rashi would agree, b'chai gavlin, in such a scenario, madlik al Pesach habayis hapasuch l'shus harabim, because the spectator, even though technically he's lighting now in an area which is owned by the rabim, the spectator would realize that whose candle is it? It's his. Why? Because that's Pesach basic. So the point of the Ran is to say that Rashi doesn't require private ownership the way we formulate. We were too extreme, he says, over this chotzer and Pesach Beiso. But as long as it's connected to his house, it's immediately in front of the opening of his house, that's considered Beiso, even if he doesn't own that area. But if he does own that area, and then there's an extended chotzer, a wider chotzer that's common to many, many people, because all these batim share that chotzer, then Rashi would say that the Pesach of that chotzer would be completely invalid. Okay. Now he quotes Rav Eliezer Moshe Horovitz. He was the Rav in a city called Pinsk. Do we have any Litvaks here in the audience? You know, real Litvaks? So, you know, my father came from Lita. He used to say that all of Lita was as wide as great of an area as the Catskill Mountains. Anybody know the Catskill Mountains? You know, so it's like going from Monticello to Liberty. Yeah, you know, it's all one area. So my father came from a city called Plisa, a little village actually, a shtetl called Plisa. And one of his close friends, who also came to America in his youth, came from the city of Pinsk. So he used to call my father, in America, he used to call my father Pleaser Ilui, the genius from Plisa. And my father used to call him the Pinsker Ilui, the genius from Pinsk.
Minsk is not too far from
him. Right. Pinsk, Minsk, they're all very close to each other. And Radin was not far. In fact, the Hasidim couldn't go all the way to Lubavitch if they were Chabadnikim to get a bracha from the Rebbe, so they used to go to the Chofetz Chaim in Radin. The Chofetz Chaim was very close, very warm towards Hasidim, even though he was a classical, in that sense, from the Litvisha world. Okay. So this Av Bezdin from Pinsk says the following. Taimo shel Rashi. What's the underlying logic of Rashi? Shekshemadlik bePesach haChotzer eino nikar. It's not obvious. Mi bBnei haChotzer idliko. If we all share a common courtyard, whose candle is this? Kevod shekama batim psuchim leChotzer achas. What led Rashi to the conclusion that it has to be crystal clear that this light belongs to this bias? He says, Rashi ochicho mi Rav Huna Rav Chizda. Rav Huna Rav Chizda tell us that on Friday night of Hanukkah, you cannot use inferior oils, because they both agree that mutar lehishtamesh li'ora shel ner Hanukkah. Therefore, this gzeira shvus of what? Who remembers? Why can't I like this? Shemayata, because he might be tempted to tilt it. The im madlik al pesach hachotzer. Rashi held the following. Since in their reality, the batim spilled into a common chotzer, if you were to assume, this is the argument from the opposite position, if you were to assume against Rashi that you're going to light in the pesach hachotzer, meaning the common chotzer, why is there a gzera of Shemayata? Who's worried about Shemayata? Nobody's reading his book to the light that's in the Pesach HaChotzer. If it's the Pesach Beiso, so maybe that light gives illumination into the house, let's say he has a window right there in his front window, then that light spills over to his window and he uses that light to read a book, because we're holding now Mutal Ishtamish Lior Shal Ner Chanuk, he might come to be Mata. But if it's all the way in the Pesach HaChotzer, why should we worry about Shemayat? Brilliant proof to support Rashi. Od Hochicha, he says he has another Hochicha. The Gemara says that Hadar Ba'aliyah, that's the next line in the Gemara, if he lives on the second floor, Madlik Bechalon, he should light it in the window. Kevon She'ein Lo Pesach L'Chotzer, because he doesn't have any opening to the Chotzer, you have to go through someone else's house. V'im Madlikin Al Pesach HaChotzer, and if you're going to hold, which again is Tosus Rishit, that you can light at the entry into what? Into the common chotzer, again the common courtyard. Hare gam bal ha'aliyah yachol lahadlik sham. Why can't the owner of the second floor house, right? You have a two floor house. Why can't he light at the entry into the chotzer? Why does he have to light in the window? So what it means is that Rashi understood that the next line in the Gemara, let's just read the next line in the Braisa. The Braisa says, the im hayadar ba'aliyah, he lives on the second floor, he has what you'd call an attic apartment, or I don't know what phrase you want to use.
Loft.
what's it called? A loft?
A penthouse,
a loft. He says, Meinicha bechalon. Then he puts his candle bechalon. Which chalon should he choose? He has many windows. The one that's closest to Rishus HaRabin. So Rashi tells you, if you take a look at the Dibra Maskil Baalia, so he doesn't own a chatzer which people have access to, because the only way of getting access to his chatzer is going through the neighbor on the bottom. Is therefore meinicha mibifnim. Obviously, it's a fallback position, what we call b'di'evit, that he has to light inside his house. Later on, the Gemara is going to say when there was a sakana because of anti-Semitism, Nebuchadnezzar would have to light inside the house. But that's really a fallback position. And Rashi says, why is he lighting in his in Bifnim? Because Ein lo makom b'chatzero. What do you mean Ein lo makom b'chatzero? Why can't he light in the Pesach HaChatzer of the common courtyard? Obviously, the hadlok has to take place right near his bayis, the Pesach of his bayis. Tosfos, on the other hand, Dibra Maskel Mitzvah, Pirshu, Shemasha Omru, Shemadlik al Pesach Beso, Hainu Dafka, Kisharbayis, Pasuach, Lishus Arabin. Why does the Braisa require that you light in front of your house? Because that area is Rishus HaRabim. You don't have any distance between Rishus HaRabim, the public area, and your house. Your house opens up, spills into directly into Rishus HaRabim. And that's why he's going to light there, because according to Tosus, it's not Beso that we want to get to, but in order to maximize Pirsum and this, what's the proper location for Adloka? No. Again, according to Rashi, the exact location is going to be Pesach Beso. According to Tosus, it's going to be what? Rishus HaRabim. Do we have it? I don't know. I get nervous here. Nobody seems to be following me here. And then I feel like I'm standing on very shaky ground over here. Again, there's a fundamental machlokas, Rabosa. If you don't get this down, we're going to be missing one of the most important points in learning the sugya of Chanukah. What is the proper location for Adloka? Rashi says it's Beso, Pesach Beso. Pesach Beso means that it's in front of his house, it's part of his house, it's an extension. And Tosus, on the other hand, says, where should you be lighting? In Rishus HaRabim. Not in something that's privately owned, but in Rishus HaRabim, public area. Because that's going to expand what? So why does the Gemara say, why does the Brisa say Pesach Beso? Because the Brisa is talking about a reality in which as soon as you cross over and exiting your house, the threshold of your house, open the door and step out, where does your foot land? On Rishus HaRabim. If, on the other hand, in a different Metzius, Im Hu Pasuach L'Chotzer, if the opening of a house enters into a chatzah, meaning your private courtyard, then mitzvah lahadlik al Pesach hachatzah shel b'nei Rishus HaRabim. He shouldn't be lighting on the Pesach of his chatzah, but rather on the Pesach of the chatzah that belongs to the Rishus HaRabim, to everyone, because it's a common courtyard. Now, what supports the sheet of Tosfos? We brought two very strong proofs for Rashi. First of all, why are we worried about Shema Yata if he's lighting in the Pesach of the Kamen Chatzah, which is far away from his house? And secondly, we brought a raya from the fact that if he lives in an Aliyah, then he has to light in the Chalon. Why should he light in the Chalon? Why can't he light in the Pesach of the Kamen Chatzah, which according to Tosfos is Rishus HaRabim? That's exactly where he should light. On the flip side, we have a Gemara that seems to support Tosfos. The Gemara says that if you, this is on Daf Chav Gimel, if you own a house that has entranceways from two sides, from the north and the south, and there are people who walk on the south, they only see that Pesach. There are people who walk on the north, they only see that Pesach. Tzarech lahadlik b'shnei psachel. He's got like two candles, one near Chanukah on the north and one on the south. What do you say, David?
I said, wow.
Wow, it's really amazing. And this, by the way, we'll see codified in Shulchan Aruch when we get to the sugya on Daf Chav Gimel. Let me just make a brach over here. What is this? This is substitute sugar.
Yes,
here. I don't know. I don't know if I should be using this, but
One is out, one is out.
Yeah, I should leave it out, but I don't know what coffee tastes like without some sort of sweetener. I'm sort of addicted to sweet.
If it's good coffee, you can do it.
I don't really know how much I call you.
I buy my coffee in the shop.
Garnish Gehelf, and it's bitter as as they come. Okay. How do you get used to that? Okay. So what's the big deal about this Gemara of a house that has two psachim that he has to light on both sides? So this is a proof for Tosfos that it's not enough that you lit a candle that's connected to your house, but you also have to light for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. Oh, so what, from Tosfos's perspective, that it's not Pesach Beso, but it's Rishus HaRabim. Where is the Rishus HaRabim?
I'm sorry.
And the answer is it's in both places. Yes, there's a double Rishus HaRabim. So you cannot isolate one particular Pesach, because that's not the exclusive Pesach of Rishus HaRabim. There's another Pesach of Rishus HaRabim on the other side. See, Rashi might interpret that Gemara that he has a chatzin on both sides. Do you follow what I mean? Each Pesach spills into a courtyard. Oh, now we have a second sugya, also on Daf Chof Gimel. Ner sheyesh lo shtei pios. So in other words, he puts two wicks in one receptacle. You remember this? Olil shnei bnei adam. In other words, if there are two homes, and they put the Ner Chanukah between the two houses, and they put two wicks, and Reuven on one side lights his wick, and Shimon on the other side lights his wick, they're both Yotze.
There was a question about what side of the
Petah. Oh, excellent. The Im, if we're going to say like Rashi, that the Halach of Ner Chanukah is Pesach HaBayis, Ketzad Yadliku Shnei Bnei Odom Adorim B'Shnei Batim B'Ner Echad. He says, how can it be that both would light one, we'll call it a Chanukiah, meaning one Ner, with each with his respective wick? One is going to be lighting on the right side, the other is going to be lighting on the left side. And the Gemara says that you have to have the mezuzah on the right side and the Ner Chanukah on the left side. So now, how is Rashi going to understand this? Because by definition, one of the two is lighting on the right side, because he's lighting with Pesach HaChotzer. But if y'all like Tosfos said he's lighting in the Chotzer Rishus HaRabim, then there is no such thing as a left and a right, because there's no mezuzah, and therefore we can understand this. All right, so that's what we have. Now let's go on. The Gemara says, this is unbelievable, that b'shas asakana, if there's a danger in placing your Ner Chanukah outside in a place that's accessible to the Rabbim, because the Goyim are threatening to destroy the Jewish people, so the Gemara, the Braisa says, then meinichal shulchano v'dayo. He can place the Ner Chanukah on his table, vidayo, and he fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says, Ner Chanukah menicha al Pesach hasomach l'shusarab mibachutz. And then he says, v'yim ha'yadar ba'aliyah, etc., etc. U'b'shas ha'sakona, she'ena rashoy l'kayim ha'mitzvah menicha al Shulchano vidayo. So in other words, according to the Mechaber, it seems that he has two choices. But if all things are equal, he should light it on the outside. If on the other hand he cannot light it on the outside, then he's allowed to light it. So it's interesting, because it means that the Mechaber is... What period of time historically is the Mechaber talking about, if he gives you the option of lighting it on your table? Is it after this period of time that the Gemara is describing as Shas HaSakana? It must be, because he's telling you to light it on your table if need be. And yet he's saying that if possible, you should light it outside your house, because there's no danger.
Hold door by door.
Right, so he's saying that what we're learning from this Mechaber is an unbelievable Chiddush, that it's not like Shas HaSakana V'Eloch, meaning from that point and on,
the entire mitzvah of Ner Chanukah changes. Do you follow my point? Correct. It means that Shasa Sakana doesn't change the original mitzvah. The original mitzvah is still to light outside, not inside, on your table. But because of the impending danger, that's why you're going to light on the inside. If let's say after Shasa Sakana you could light on the outside without incurring any danger, then that's exactly what you have to do. We're going to soon see that other Rishonim hold that after Shasa Sakana the whole mitzvah was changed. Once that historical period came, they made a new takana, and from now on we're going to light inside and not outside. That's not the mechaber. Yeah,
if you're lighting on the table because of danger, should you light so that it can't be seen through the window? In other words, the light can't even be seen at all.
Correct, because if they see your light, you're in deep trouble. You violate their law and you'll be taken to who knows what.
That's a basic change of things that we've done by Sakana. There are other things that we change. Davening would be changed to Sakana, like with the shofar. Originally,
of Bezdin over there.
So things we change throughout because of Sakana that we keep, right? There are things that we.
So other Rishonim are going to say, this is the Bala Iter and the Shibole Aleket. Maybe we'll get a chance to study that. That Mishasa Sakana V'Eloch, you don't even have to light outside your house. They changed the very fiber, the very fabric of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But that's not the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. He says that if you don't have a sakana, light on the outside. He's talking about Shasa Sakana V'Eloch, after the Shasa Sakana. So I'm wondering, again, I don't have a mitzvah, so if somebody could brilliantly come up with a scenario where, let's say, there are two people and one is able to light on the outside of his house, the other is only able to light on his table. Again, I don't have a, just in a theoretical world, if you can come up and flesh out a case, I would be appreciative. But what I wanted to know is the person who is lighting on the inside of his house, on his table, could he be motzi, his neighbor, who doesn't have a sakana? And again, just bear with me. Again, the mitzias is very hard. But let's say Reuven lives in a place where there's sakana, and Shimon lives in the place where there is no sakana. Could Reuven light on his table on behalf of Shimon? Let's say Shimon is a guest. Okay, we're going to have later on a sugya about a guest or whatever. What would you say, Phil?
What happens to Ishu Beto?
So here's the deal. According to the Shibole Aleket and the Bala Itur, the entire nature of the mitzvah Ner Chanukah changed at one point in history, and the Chachamim stood up and they enacted a new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, radically different, and we'll soon see how radical it is, than the original mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And the original mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, according to these Rishonim, is completely gone. It's dead and buried. Now we have a new mitzvah. And that mitzvah is to light on your table. Therefore, what would you say about Reuven, who's lighting on his table on behalf of Shimon, even though Shimon doesn't have a sakana? Could Shimon be yotze? But if you hold like the mechaber that the old chiyuv of Ner Chanukah still exists, it's very much lurking in the shadows, and it will emerge from the shadows in a situation, in a scenario where there's no sakana. So then, if Shimon lives in a neighborhood where there is sakana, where there is no sakana, and Reuven lives in the neighborhood where there's sakana, Reuven is entitled to light on his table, but that's not a Ner Chanukah as far as Shimon is concerned, because Shimon's chiyuv is the original chiyuv of Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. So this discussion about whether or not Misha Sakana is Menicha al Shulchan V'dayo is a new takana, or it's the old Ner Chanukah, that's a very far-reaching machlokas. And we have similar cases in, for example, I always like to give you a mashal from Megillas Esther. In Megillas Esther, in the original formulation, there were certain individuals who were potter from the Megillah. Let's say, for example, An Eved has the same status as an Isha with regard to which mitzvah? Anybody know? Excellent. Zman Gerum. That's based on a Gzeirah Shavah called La. So therefore, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, the Eved is not Chayav in Mikra Megillah. Why? Because it's a mitzvah Seisha Zman Gerum. So with regard to women, they made a new takana. That was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, way after the Mishnah. And he said that in his particular period of time, they enacted a new takana to be machayev women in Mikra Megillah. Why? Because Afein Hoy both sides nest. Now it's a brand new takana. It's not the original. And there are tremendous nafkaminas, because if the takana on behalf of women was not the real McCoy mitzvah, which is a mitzvah seishas man grom, they were never included in that mitzvah, then a woman could not read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Or, for example, an Eved Kenani, who was never part of the original gzeirah of Haman, he would not be included in this new takana because of afein hoyu bosanes doesn't apply to. So again, we very often have structures where there's the original takana, the way the Chazal formulated it, and then there was sort of a historically a fallback position, and you always have to ask yourself in the context of that fallback position, is that a brand new takana and a new mitzvah, or is it the old mitzvah just with, you know, just we tweak it a little bit, if you follow what I mean?
Why now, isn't it only for that specific circumstance? Why does it change the mitzvah?
So let me ask, in order to answer your question, Phil, I have to ask you another question. Why is this such a fundamental difference between lighting outside and lighting inside?
Well, because there's your whole, where's the issue base? Is it issue base? So,
no, on so the contrary. On the contrary, Usher, from the perspective of issue base, so, right. You're upgrading it. You know,
the difference I was trying to say is that issue base, so, okay, so the Pesumah Nisa is only issue base, so, or are you saying the Pesumah Nisa really is everybody else, not necessarily.
Oh.
So Tosva seems to be saying here that it's everybody else, and Rashi seems to say Ishu Beis. I think you can.
Right. So again, so let me just summarize what you're saying, Asher. The fundamental difference here, according to Tosva, is understood. As we say, Vishlem L'Tosis Nicha, because then it's a fundamental difference. But why is it so fundamental? Because Tosis holds that what's the location for Ner Chanukah? It's Rishut HaRabim, correct? So that's the nature of Pirsum HaNes. But I have news for you, that's not going to cut the mustard here, because we already have the case of Dar Ba'aliyah in this price. And in Dar Ba'aliyah, already, he's lighting at his window, not in the Rishus HaRabim. So then Tosis has to admit that there are two locations that are possible and feasible for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So that this takon of Shas takon of Yelach is not so fundamentally different than what happened before the period of historical period of Shas takon. So I'm looking for a different answer. Why is this so fundamentally different? Okay, try not to pay any attention to him over there. He's a wood chopper, you know. That's what the Gemara says, that the whole sugi about whether you're allowed to, if a person is a goses and he's never about to die, whether you're allowed to shut up the woodchopper. You know, there was a woodpecker. Remember the woodpecker, because the woodpecker is keeping him alive. He can't. Okay, anyway. So then.
How annoying.
Yeah. If you want to focus on what we're discussing now, listen to me very carefully. What makes this Shas HaKana Veilich a brand new takana that's fundamentally different from their Hanukkah as we know it? I want you to emphasize one word. Starts with a shin. Ends with a nun. Still not getting anywhere. Shulchan. What is the radical change here in the midst of Ner Chanukah? And if you're listening to what I'm about to say now, it was worth learning with me for how long we've been learning? About a week of the laws of Chanukah. And this is the most important thing I can tell you about Chanukah. Why is Shulchano absolutely antithetical to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah?
There's no
Forget about Pirsum HaNes. Something much more fundamental than Pirsum HaNes. Again, you see, it's hard for you to answer this question because you're used to electricity. But imagine back in the day, they didn't have electricity. Who remembers the word I had on the blackboard? I'm not going to point to it, because that would be a dead giveaway.
Getting shimush from the lights?
Right? I wouldn't want to point to it, because that would be a dead giveaway, right? But do you remember back a week ago, I put a certain word on the whiteboard? Did anybody remember? What was the word?
That's the essence of Hekera.
Hekera. Oh, excellent. Hekera. I'm very impressed that you remember that word. Yeah. What is Hekera, Rabosman? Let me put it to you this way. What's the opposite of Hakeira? Why is Hakeira so critical? Because the flip side of Hakeira is antithetical to the whole enterprise of Chanukah.
The star was hidden, not personally.
Again, keep in mind they didn't have electricity in those days. Can you keep that in mind? Why is Hakeira so critical in the midst of Ner Chanukah? Not getting anywhere. And why is Asur L'shtamish ben? Why? It's only a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. You remember our whole argument that, you know, that...
That's the Hekeira.
Why is Hekeira so critical?
Because that's what tells you that it's Chanukah.
Because Ner Chanukah is what's called a Ner Mitzvah. In fact, the Maral Miprag wrote an entire work on the Mitzvah of Chanukah, and it's called Ner Mitzvah. That's the Maral Miprag. Why is Ner Mitzvah so critical? Because in the absence of Hekeiro, Litzarko Kamadlik, he's lighting it for his own personal purposes. That's antithetical to a Ner Chanukah. Now imagine the following scenario. A man lights a candle and he puts it on his dining room table. What lights and what candles did they put on the dining room table?
For their own
purpose. For his own purpose. Nobody wants to eat in the dark. Which was that Walt Disney animated movie with the, you know, with the lamps that were jumping up and down? What was that?
Fantasia.
No. I never saw Fantasia. It was another one. One of the classics, you know.
Beauty and the Beast.
You know, one of them. I still have the scene in front of me. You remember the candles that are jumping up and down? Okay. Okay, maybe it's also Fantasia. I didn't see Fantasia. Anyway, I think it was in Beauty and the Beast. Anyway, so imagine a person lights a candle on his table. Rabosai. That is mufka. It cannot be a Ner Chanukah by definition. It can't be a Ner Chanukah. So a Ner Chanukah is called what? A Ner Mitzvah. What do you mean a Ner Mitzvah? This is not a Ner Mitzvah. That's who are you fooling? That's the Ner that you need to see the difference, you know, when you cut your steak, you know, between the part where the fat is and the part where you want to cut off. That's Litzarko Kodmadlik. Is Litzarko Kodmadlik is the exact antithesis of Ner Chanukah. Is Memela Rabosai when it says Misha Sakana Menicho Al Shulchano Vidayo? Vidayo means, you know, who are you fooling? This is not the real McCoy Ner Chanukah. I have to admit, this is not the original, you know, the original Ner Chanukah. You know, I don't know if you follow Spider-Man comic books. When I was a kid, we used to love Spider-Man comics. So there's the original Spider-Man. Now they have a new Spider-Man. But for us guys, you know, we want the original Spider-Man, right? And this is true in every avocation in life. You know, you love sports. Who remembers the, you know, the New York Mets, the original New York Mets? If you love music, you know, who remembers the Beatles? You know what I'm saying? The original. Now there are all sorts of fake Beatles. You know what I'm saying? The original Ner Chanukah was a Ner Mitzvah. It couldn't be on your shulchan. If it was on your shulchan, Rabosai, pum faker, it's antithetical to a Ner Chanukah. Again, it's hard for us to imagine this because who lights candles today? You know, it's ridiculous. Nobody lights candles today. I mean, again, if you want to be romantic, you know, you shut off the electricity and you light candles. But who lights candles today? We have electricity. But back in the day, you lit a candle because otherwise you're in the dark. And where do you place this candle that you need? On your table. That's the classical case. We're going to have a whole discussion later on with regard to a Ner Chanukah on Leil Shabbos, if you're allowed to have your Suda Shabbos illuminated by the Ner Chanukah. Because maybe even if I hold Asur L'shtamish Liora, that's only if there's a Bizayon. But if I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, maybe we're going to allow it. Even that is a very difficult, you know, you have to really move into a very dochak, you know, piece to say that I'm going to illuminate my Suda Shabbos with a Ner Chanukah. Then it's not a Ner Mitzvah. There's no Hekeira. And therefore, I'll both say just one last sentence, and then Jerry, the floor is yours. Therefore, I'm inclined to think, again, this is not the Beis Yosef, but like the other Rishonim, that Misha Sakana means that, forget it, we've dumped the old Ner Chanukah mitzvah overboard, and we've created a new takana, a brand new mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as we originally know it. It's not the original, as I called it. It's a new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is litzarko. It looks like a Ner litzarko, but dayan, we're going to have to suffice. And why? Because it's Shas Sakana. Now you're going to go ahead after Shas Sakana, and you're going to light outside. That's fine, because again, you know, you add another element into the equation. It's also Nikar. Yeah, Jim.
I was going to say you're dealing with the situation of Ein Brera, because Sakana is Ein Brera. So it's not that it's
right.
The best way to do it.
Right. But I'm going a step further. I'm saying it's not only an Ein Brera like the Dar Ba'aliyah, that's an Ein Brera, but it's a new period of time. A historical new period of time that generated a new enactment on the part of the Chachamim with a brand new mitzvah. It's not the old mitzvah.
So then once you do that, they take away the chiyah for the women. Because you got rid of presuming these. You said, afim ba'oyuvosanes. Once you do it on your shulchan,
so we're going to have to say that Pirsum HaNes applies even if it's not Nikar to the passerby. Meaning the members of my household will somehow understand, you know, we'll have to make an announcement, Klapaf and Tish, on this very Tish that he's putting the candle, that this is for the sake of a mitzvah. So that element of Pirsum HaNes he could have.
What if you had other lights lit in the room?
Oh, so excellent, Phil. Either you read the next line of the Gemara, or you were machaved to the next line of the Gemara. We'll allow you to write the next line of the Gemara, Phil. That's a compliment, Phil. Don't get insulted.
I'm not sure.
That you could have authored the next line
of
the Gemara.
I'm not getting insulted.
Okay. Amar Rava. Okay, are we ready for this? Amar Rava Tzarich Ner Acheres. He's got to light another candle. It's not enough that he light the Ner Chanukah. What's that other candle called in our language?
A shamash.
Lehishtamesh liora. Why does he need another candle, Rabosai?
So that he wouldn't use the Chanukah candle.
Why does he need another candle? For Hekera. Now that he has another candle, what becomes obvious when he lights the Ner Chanukah? That it's an Ner Mitzvah. Then you have Hekeru. But if you don't light another candle, no one has a clue that you've lit this one single candle for the sake of a Ner Mitzvah. They think that you lit it for your own personal purposes. But if you add the Shamash, so Rabosai, I saw someone, I mamash saw this with my own eyes, who lit the Shamash after he lit the candle of Chanukah. What would you say about such a person?
No, that's
an Amoritz. He's a total ignorant. Again, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little... I shouldn't say this. You know, it's not politically correct. But he's really an Amoritz. Why? Why is it critical that you light the Shamash first and then go ahead and light the Ner Chanukah?
In other words, you're using the Ner Chanukah.
Hekera. Because the Hekera has to emerge with the Hadlok at the moment of Hadlok. Asher Kitshonu Mitzot, since you want to Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. What do you mean Lahadlik Ner Chanukah? There's no Shamash here. And Rava says, Tzorech Ner Acheres. It's not a Ner Chanukah unless you have a Ner Acheres. And by the way, let me tell you about something else that I saw. I saw someone who closes the lights of his room before he lights an Ner Chanukah. What would you say about him? He's also an Amoritz. I'll tell you why. Adarabba, Pumfakeret. Turn on your electric lights before you light your Ner Chanukah. Why? Because the more your electric lights are illuminating, the more that your Ner is what?
Ner
is an Ner Mitzvah. And not only that, I would tell you I saw a third person, but let's see if you'll figure this one out. He didn't bother with the Shamash. What would you say about him? Is he an Amoretz?
Yeah.
Nin! He's a grace of Talmud Chacham. Why? Because he has electric lights. And once he has his electric lights, he doesn't need a Shamash. Again, I'm not passing halacha, Rabosai, here. You know, we're just learning the sugya. But if the entire thrust of Rava's requirement of Ner Acheres is just to make it clear that he's lighting a Ner Chanukah with Hekera, that it's a Ner Mitzvah, then if he's got electricity... By the way, yeah, go ahead. Menachem, could you do me a favor? Just thank you. Yeah, just I get nervous when it. Now it's a little bit better.
Yeah, so then, if we need a...
Where's your towel? Yeah, good.
If we need a ner, a shamas, just because we're lighting inside, so that means by, you know, on that, based on that, then when you're lighting on the street, then, or petach beito, or petach chatzero, then you don't need a shamas.
Logically, you're right. The poskim say you should always have a shamash. Why? Because lo plu, you know, we don't make distinctions. But you're right. Conceptually, if I'm lighting outside my house, who's going to think that I'm lighting a litzarko? So some of the poskim say, remember I told you before that if you light close enough to your house and you have a window, so again, we're not used to this because we don't use candles, but in those days it could even illuminate inside the house.
No, let's say in that example, in the chatzer, somebody's walking by and they need to read something on a piece of paper, and they go over to that light. If the shamash was not there, they would be using the ner chanukah. So,
right. So it could be that somebody could undermine my mitzvah because he's going to remove the status of a ner mitzvah from my ner, and I'm going to take him to court for that. I'm going to sue him for that because he's messing up my ner chanukah by using my ner chanukah, making it into a litzar kokum. But probably the answer to your question, Phil, is that he has no rights to abscond with my ner chanukah. I lit it in a way that was perfect. It was clear that it was a ner mitzvah. Now he wants to use it for his own purposes. That's not going to undermine the status of my ner chanukah.
When you light the shamash first, then you light your ner mitzvah for Hanukkah. There's twice as many lumens. Twice as much light comes forth. So with the way our eyes work, how do you avoid using the Hanukkah light?
Interesting question. I don't know. I think Chazal operate within certain rules and regulations. In other words, the rule itself makes sense. The application in certain cases is a little bit iffy. So David is asking, you have these two lights. Maybe you're benefiting from both of the lights because your Ner Chanukah doubles the amount of illumination you get. But that's as far as we can do it. Let me ask you another question, Rabos. Again, this is a very strange mitzvah that I saw once with my own eyes. I saw a person holding on to a candle, and he lights the candle, and he's holding on to it. Was he yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah?
Was it a shamash?
Absolutely not. No. It wasn't a shamash because he only lit one candle.
He just lights the candle.
Holds on to it. It's litzarko kamacham. You know, it's obviously completely devoid of hekera, and he wouldn't be yotz because he's holding on to it. Says Rava. However, the iikah madura lo tzarach. This is my case of electricity. He doesn't need a shamash if he's got a madura, meaning he's got a very intense source of light that illuminates his house. And then he says, the i adam chashivu afal gav the iikah madura tzarach ner acheres. That you still need a shamash if he's an adam chashiv. So first, let's see if Rashi will help us here. The first Rashi that we want to look at is Sakon. Do you have the Rashi? Dira Maskla Sakon. Shehoyo lehem leParsiim. Okay, so that the Jewish people lived under the Parsiim. Chok. They had a religious... The Parsiim had a religious Avodah Zorah Chok. Biyom Edom. That was the day that they celebrated their worship of the idol, of the god. Shelo yav iru ner el bebeis avodah zarah shelahem. They wanted darkness so that there's one single light that was in their temple. No one was allowed. So it's interesting because Rashi is sort of, to some extent, not totally, diffusing the anti-Semitic element here, because Rashi's saying that even the Parsiim themselves were not allowed to light candles on Yom Edom. But nevertheless, I'm sure they had a particular way of applying this to a Jew who would be caught lighting on his own candle on Yom Edom. Now comes Rava, and Rava says that you need a ner acheres, you need a shamash. Says Rashi, lasos heker ledavar. Again, we're back to Hekera. V'i ikah madura, esh. So there's a very intense fire. What do we call it? A bonfire. Lo tzarech ner acheres. Why? Lefisha mishtamesh, if he needs to use it, li'or hamidora, he's going to use the bonfire. V'yesh hakerosh, aner shel mitzvah. You have a whole long bonfire. Why are you lighting another candle? It's obvious that you're lighting it as a ner mitzvah. V'iodom choshevu, let me just read one more Rashi. Eino rogil lishtamesh li'or hamidora. So this reality is totally foreign to me, if anyone could explain it to me.
I think Madura is a
torch. Wait, let me just translate.
It's a torch, not a bonfire.
Okay, it's a torch or a bonfire. So he says that a person who's an Adam Chash would not use the light of a bonfire, or as Usher calls it, a torch. I'm not sure exactly why that would be so. Don't know. Okay. Is therefore tzarech narach. Here's the lolo avi heker again. Rashi. Okay. Now, Rabosa, at this point, I'm looking at my watch, and we have 10 minutes to learn the most important gemara about Chanukah. What is Chanukah all about? And the brisa, as you know it, we all know it by heart. My Chanukah. What is Chanukah? We'll see what Rashi says about my Chanukah. Just a bit. Rashi has a whole other take on this gemara. But the Gemara says the following. The Brisa says, "Bechafei bekislev." Where am I? The Tana Rabbana, "Bechafei bekislev yomei dechanukah tamyan inu." So on the 25th of Kislev we begin the days of Chanukah. And how many days are there?
Eight
days. Tamyan inu. And what is the significance of this halachic statement that we have 8 days of Chanukah? Zokta Braisa, Delo, where am I? I lost the place again. Delo Lemispad Bahun, there's no Hesped, Udelo Lehis Ados Bahun, and we don't fast during these days. So, as far as fasting is concerned, this is very relevant even in our time. As far as Hesped, I don't know if you've ever been in a funeral during the days of Chanukah. I mean, people die in Chanukah. That's the way it works. In fact, you have 8 different days if you want to die. You have 8 chances to die during expanded possibilities. But somehow they circumvent this law. Oh, we're not giving a hesped. It's not really a hesped. We're only describing some of his qualities, and we're not going to have a hesped. So truth be told, that it's a bit of a, you know, the phrase Nishtaf Shabbos Geret, you know, and then you talk about all the things you're not allowed to talk about on Shabbos. It's kind of a haruma. It's not the real thing. But I have to tell you the following. My Rebbe used to always tell us that Hesped is the same as Bech. Bech, yes, crying. What do I mean? Back in the day, the purpose and the goal of a Hesped, today things are very different, was to bring the audience to tears. In fact, if you open up Megillas Eicha, it says Kiru LaMakoninos. And if you look in the Mefarshim, Rashi and others, they say the Makoninos were actually professional Makoninos. These were women who would bring the tzibur to cry. It's a tremendous, how should I say, a fach, how do you say in English, a tremendous kisharon, can anybody
skill,
help me?
Talent,
a skill or a talent to bring people to cry. When people who used to hear my father's a darshan, you know, they used to compliment. My father was considered in his time, if not the greatest, one of the greatest darshanim in America. They used to say about my father that in one drush he can bring the people to laugh and to cry. In one drush. He had total control over your emotional strings. That was my father's a darshan. And all the rabbanim used to call up my father for drushes, you know. The purpose of a hesped is bechi. Today, I'm not sure if we're making the mitzvah of hesped. The person who could bring the people to cry is either the wife or the husband. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this minhag. It's a minhag Yerushalayim. And the spouse will come over to the gufa, as we say in modern Hebrew. I hate to use the English translation, but to the body, and will speak to the body. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Again, this is very spooky. And, you know, what exactly is going on? I don't know. Probably the spouse is asking for mechila. That's when the people start crying. But when the Masvid gets up, what Kesvid can he say that might impress me? You know, became a competition almost. Can he weave Chazal in? Can he describe the person's very essence? It's so difficult to capture. You know, what was unique about this person? So we find all sorts of coolness. But on Hanukkah, according to the technical law and the Prushim here in Yerushalayim, are very makpin on this. No hespedim whatsoever on Hanukkah. They will not allow hespedim. And the that here in Yerushalayim they have what's called a Beit Levayot, that, you know, that's where you go and the dead body is there and so forth. And then they go to the Beis HaKfaros. Let's say, for example, Har Menuchot is very common here in Yerushalayim. Bless you. Why show up in the Beit Levayot on Hanukkah? It's really just chaplap. All they do is introduce they call in the wife of the niftar, let's say if it was a man, and she speaks to the corpse. After that, a bunch of kadeshim, and then they go out to the Beis HaKfaros. But nothing really happens in the Beit HaLevayot because there are no espedim. That's if you follow the Prushim. If you follow other minhagim, then they'll, as I say, you know, nishtav shabbos, they'll find some sort of a loophole and they'll give, you know, different talmidei chacham the option of giving quasi, you know, hespedim. And now the Braisa wants to tell us what's so special about these 8 days that begin with the 25th of Kislev. By the way, what's the status of the 24th of Kislev? Is that any status? In the Braisa, there's no mention of the 24th of Kislev. What? Somebody gets buried on the 24th of Kislev. You have any problem about hespedim? No problem. The 24th of Kislev has the same status as Tu B'Shvat. If you follow me, it's not Hanukkah. That's why I can't understand people who light Ner Hanukkah on Plaga Mincha. Plaga Mincha is like an hour and a quarter before Shkia on the first night of Hanukkah. Again, on the second night of Hanukkah, at least I can tell you he's lighting on the 25th. It's Hanukkah already. But if he lights Miplaga Mincha going into the first night of Hanukkah, what calendar date is he lighting on? The 24th of Kislev. The 24th of Kislev is Tu B'Shvat. There's no connection to Hanukkah. I don't get it. But he's not an Amoritz because the Shulchan Aruch says that that's what he has to do. If he can't light that night, he will light Miplaga Mincha. So what am I saying to you? Am I saying to you that Plaga Mincha is already considered the 25th of Kislev? Imagine if anyone learned the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. There's Halach of Shtar. Shtar has to have a date on it. Imagine if a person wrote the date of the 25th of Kislev on a document from Plaga Mincha on the 24th. The Shtar would be possible. Why? Because that's not the calendar date.
Does the candle need to stay lit, though?
Oh, wow, Phil, that's a lumbish question. That's really going to be a machlokas between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Taz. And that's very relevant to every Friday night of Hanukkah, and sometimes it's two times, right, that you have to light an Er Hanukkah, and now you have to put in enough oil. Again, it's before Shkia. And the Taz claims that you have to put in enough oil to last. You know, here they light the Makabel Shabbos in Yerushalayim 40 minutes before Shkia. Again, I never was able to hack it. Except on Hanukkah. But let's say you follow it even on Hanukkah. Could you imagine lighting a Hanukkah candle 40 minutes before Shkia? It's after Plaga Mincha. So Phil says put in a lot of oil in that case. I would say maybe light a yahrzeit candle. But no, because there's no hesped on Hanukkah, so we don't light a yahrzeit candle. He says the following. Kshenichnesu Yevonim Lehechal. Right, the Yevonim had a special interest in violating and vilifying Kedusha, sanctity. The whole story of Hanukkah is all about one concept called Kedusha. They could not accept Kedusha. And they did everything that would be antithetical to Kedusha, as far as the human body is concerned, in many different aspects, but certainly as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned. And what is the holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabosai? The Heichal. Right? The Kodesh Kedoshim is within the Heichal, but the Heichal itself is the Holy of Holies. And what stood in the Heichal? The menorah. And the Yevonim had a particular delight in vilifying and contaminating the menorah. Timu kol hashmonim. And they contaminated all of the oils because the oil represents Kedusha.
Shegover Malchus Beis Chashmonoi V'nitzchum Bod Kuvul Amatzel Pachechad Shel Shemen Shel Emunah Pachosvo Shel Koin Gadol Lo Hoyvo El Hadlik Yom Echad Nasa Bones V'dliku Mimenu Shmona Yomim. And that was the great miracle. What is completely absent from this brisa in describing what Chanukah is all about, which is high profile in Al HaNisim,
The fighting, the milchama.
He mentions the fighting just derech akav through the back door, and he says that the Beis Chashmonoim nitzchum. The only word that sort of hints to the milchama is the word v'nitzchum. Otherwise, the whole thrust of the answer to the question my Chanukah in this brisa is the Pach HaShemen. Very strange. You know who writes about this? Have you ever heard of the No Debi Yehuda? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the No Debi Yehuda was probably the greatest mind in Ashkenazic thinking for the last 3 centuries. And he has a whole discussion here about why this brisa is totally focused on the Pach HaShemen. What happened to the Milchama? If you read Al HaNisim, it's Rabbi Yadmiyatim and so forth and so on. It's all about the Milchama. Then the brisa says, I want you to underline these two words if you own your Gemara. Lishona Acheres. And the one who makes a big, big deal about these two words is the Rambam. The Rambam sees worlds in these two words, Lishona Acheres. It means that in the original Chanukah, there was no Chanukah. In other words, in contrast to, again, I always quote Megillah, the first celebration of Purim was on the day that they rested from the Milchama against the Amalekim. And in the entire Megillah and all its Chiyuvim is patterned after that personification, so to speak, that essence of the first Purim. In Chanukah, it's not so. It's all Lashon HaCheres. Why? Why is that so? Lashon HaCheres, Kavum V'Asum, they established, they made him into Yomim Tovim, Behalel V'Hodah. Now, Rashi has a big chiddush here. Rashi says that you don't read it Yomim Tovim, comma, Behalel, comma, and Hodah, but rather Yomim Tovim, and then a colon. What is Yomim Tovim? Bahalil Bahodah, says Rashi, Velo Asuram Bimalacha. They did not prohibit these days in Malacha. I see two chidushim in Rashi. Number one, in textual, how to read the words Yomim Tovim. Rashi says Yomim Tovim is just an introduction to tell you that it was Yomim Tovim, Bahalil Bahodah, but there's no Isur Malacha. But I see another chidush in Rashi that the possibility theoretically could have existed that Chanukah would have been established as a full fledged Yontif. Rashi's coming Lafuke. And if it would have been a full fledged Yontif, then Chanukah there would be not only an Isur Tainus and an Isur Hespein, but there would also have been an Isur Malach. And Rashi continues, and he finishes up, and with this we'll end. Shalom Nikbu, they weren't established these 8 days. Ela Likros Halav Alomar Al Anisim Bohodah. Rashi explains what's the difference between Halel and Hodah. But there's no Isur Malach. So Rabosa will stop here. I wish everyone a great Shabbos. It's Parshas Lech Lecha, and the whole message of Lech Lecha is the Aretz Hasharecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show us the way to the Aretz. Now it's a little bit concealed, but God will show us how to get all the Jews here to the Aretz Hasharecha.